Jumping right back into it as we talk about Rudy Farias and the interview that he recently gave some reporters, including Fox 26 Houston. We have some of the audio from that, and we're just kind of dissecting it piece by piece and discussing what exactly was said. If you're just picking up on this segment for the first part, go back to part one for context on this, because we're working our way through it. We're up to the area in the interview where he's asked about, you know, what was going on in the bedroom. There had been some allegations made by Quinnell X last week, who claimed to be an advocate for Rudy, and claimed that Rudy had said about some very inappropriate sexual contact. Here's what he said more recently when questioned by reporters.
I used to have to sleep in her bed sometimes. I don't remember why, just like next to her. It wouldn't be anything sexual or anything like that. I wouldn't lie about that, because there's plenty of people that need honest truths when it comes to those things. That just muddies the water to lie about those type of things. That's where I said the media, they like to twist my words and confuse things. I never said anything bad about her in that regard, but, you know, just boundaries she would push or make me uncomfortable when I would say stop. And she's like, well, why? What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong, you know? And then I would just be like, okay, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, and just leave it at that, you know, just push my boundaries if you want, do whatever you had to do. And I would just be like a people pleaser, but I didn't have people to please, just my mom. I didn't have anybody to take care of or, you know, help understand me. It was just her all the time, my mom.
In that one, it feels to me a bit like he has more to say, maybe doesn't want it to come out. I mean, he doesn't. You know, especially where he alludes to, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. He's like, okay, you know, I'm just going to go along with it. And I got to say this, nobody's twisting his words. We're getting it directly from the person who's claimed he was the advocate for him, that Quinnell X, that he was standing by for quite some time. He's the one who came out and said that these allegations of the mother kissing him on the lips, making him sleep in the same bed. He did not ever say anything about intercourse. And I think most responsible reporting has also said that as well. But nonetheless, if this kid doesn't understand personal boundaries and what's appropriate or not appropriate between a mother and a son, there may be things that went on there that he doesn't even realize that you don't do that.
Well, exactly. He, growing up, being raised by her, he may think that this is all normal. And once he gets the counseling he so desperately needs, he may realize, holy cow, none of this should have happened, including X, Y, and Z.
As aware as he seems to be after only 1 week of being now known to be alive and not missing, he's extremely aware, but I still think there's a lot of growth that he's going to need to fully understand all of this, if in fact he's telling the truth on how all this went down. When asked if he wants to see his mom, here's what his response was to Fox 26.
No, not really. I don't want any contact with her at all. I just want to live my life away from her. She can do whatever she wants. I don't care. I just want to live my life. You know, I want to have a family, a job, a car, just a house. I just want to live my life. I want to be happy. I don't want to keep going back to those negative thoughts she always has on me. I'm so tired of them. I'm so tired of those thoughts. Constant negativity around that house, and I hate it. Seems like every time she comes around me, it just fuels negativity into me. Like she's just downloading it into my brain over and over, and I don't like it.
And that would be, I think, read as mental abuse. Someone who's fueling negativity over and over. I think a lot of us were expecting to hear, you know, constant physical abuse or every time she comes around hitting or this or that. But if someone is expressing it as they're downloading information into your brain, that's negative over and over and over, I think that's someone who's just not finding the correct words to use about enduring mental abuse from someone that you love and trust.
Can I be a jerk here for just a second? I grew up with an extremely negative mother, an abusive father. I've worked for employers who were horrifically negative. It just might be the way of the world. And I'm not downplaying anything that's happened to him, but it might just be you have a really bad mom who speaks to you poorly and treats you like shit. And you might feel scared of that person, but maybe he was never really held captive. Maybe he just feared her. Are there laws against that? Maybe I'm coming from this from my own perspective. Like, you know, if a parent yells at you, is that automatically abuse if they scare you?
No, I mean, I think when you have to look at the pattern of the behavior. If this has just basically been his entire childhood of mental abuse, yeah, that's certainly abuse. Is it something that she could be arrested for today? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and that's where I'm struggling, because it might just be you had a horrible, horrible, shitty childhood. You need some counseling. You need to deal with it. But I'm finding holes in his story that he was actually out of the house. He wasn't like chained in the basement. He went places. He did things. He interacted with other people. I'm struggling to find the thread in the story where he was being held captive.
Well, here's the question. Did your mom hold you captive? Here's what he said.
I mean, in a sense, just not in the physical, you know, restraints or anything, but mentally she held me against my will, which is, I wanted to just come out and say stuff and be honest. And every time I would try to, she would just either be, no, don't do it, or, all right, go do it.
Why do you think she did that?
I don't know. It's because maybe a lot of both of our problems stemmed from my brother passing away. My brother had passed away, and ever since then, he was like our glue. You know, he was like the father figure. You know, he's a provider. He took care of the family, you know, me and my mom. And then when I couldn't do, you know, take care of my mom anymore, I had to take care of my grandma. And it was difficult. Like, it was, especially at the end.
So not held physically captive, mentally held captive, according to him, and I guess all the way up to 25 years old. Again, it does seem like there was a lot of opportunity here to see the outside world, to get the outside world enough to realize, hey, I'm 25. My mom doesn't have to be holding me captive here, and she's not physically.
Yeah.
Is it him kind of holding himself captive? Playing, and here's the thought on this. If the mother is someone who has her entire life played the victim, which it sounds like she kind of does, even though she's been through a lot of bad things. But if someone maintains that ideology of always being the victim, and again, you were raised by this person for 25 years, you could also very likely fall into that pattern of, let's be the victim.
No, absolutely. That's what you've been raised to believe, that you are a victim. You're a victim of the police. When you leave the house, they're going to give you a ticket. You're a victim of everything, of society, of the world. Absolutely.
And of your mom. And you may very much be. But at the same point, there, again, if I did not hear him speaking today this way, I would have a very different opinion. But what I'm hearing is someone who does sound like they were competent enough to realize something was wrong earlier, and I don't understand why it took up to age 25 to get out of that home. I just don't. I mean, I'd love to learn more about this story. I'm very sympathetic to victims and this sort of abuse and mentality and being feeling like you're trapped and things of that nature. I've been in that situation myself once. This just seems to ring a little different.
Yeah, it feels different. It feels, I don't have a word for it. It does feel different than
I feel like
the typical more cases.
There's more, and I can't judge completely either way and say the mom's 100% guilty and horrible or she's innocent. I just feel like there's a bit of both at play here. I don't think anybody is completely in the right on any of this. It feels like everybody is speaking from some level of delusion. Did mom make you play the role of husband, asked by Fox 26? Here's what he said.
It basically felt like that. Like, you know, make sure to cook, or, oh, you didn't make me any food, you didn't do this and that. It's just like, I just want to provide for myself. I don't want to keep providing for my mom. I just treat it like a roommate towards the end, you know? Like, I'm tired of being your son. I just want to be your roommate. I just want to live my life. Give me my check instead of $60 for 12-hour shifts 7 days a week at night, you know? Like, I just want to live.
She would make you go to work with her, is that?
Yes, ma'am.
And then we don't want to twist your words. We want to say it from your perspective, and we want to make sure we get this right. So I know she had you play the role of a father, but as far as sexual assault or something of that nature, did she ever force, you don't have to go into detail. No, but
she didn't force herself on me or anything like that. Like, it wouldn't be anything like I would have to go get a rape kit or go file a police report. Okay. It would never be anything like that, just stuff that really made me uncomfortable, and I didn't have any references or other people to bounce off of to understand that, like, if it's a healthy thing that she does or not. You know, maybe it's just me not understanding how people work, because she's the only person I understand. But
yeah, someone who it sounds like, you know, just didn't have a very good grasp on how things work.
You know, to me, he sounds like somebody who's just been released from prison, whether it was his own prison or one that really did exist. But I don't think he knows how to assimilate into society. I don't think, I think he's going to need extensive counseling. Yeah. And, you know, even like I said, even if he wasn't held captive, he thinks he was. So yeah. Perception is reality here. Yeah. He thinks he was held captive as a hostage. And so he needs to work through the fact that he is now free.
Which is an interesting thing, because from the outside looking in, we can all go, well, this just looks like you could have gotten out. And physically, that may be 100% true. He may have able to just walk away at any time, and he did not. But if he mentally believes that this is where he needs to be, has to be, has no choice in the matter of being, that is abuse. That's, you know, that's where oftentimes we don't see it with mother-son relationships. We see it more with spouses, where one's abusing the other and one can't get out of it or views that they can't get out of it, sometimes until it's too late. It's very easy on the other side to go, you could have totally left, but not so much when you're in that situation.
No, and not every abused person, whether it's physical, mental, both, sexual, whatever, not every abused person has the strength to get out of their situation. So it's very easy for us to sit here and judge that. We don't know what each individual's strength is. Some people are like, F this, I'm getting out of here. I don't need to put up with this shit. And then others put up with it for their entire lives until they're 82 years old and their spouse dies and they go, huh, okay.
I guess
look what I endured.
Yeah, I didn't have to live like that. And sometimes you don't realize it until you're out of it. I just got to say, it's hard to read this accurately yet. What do you say to someone who thinks you're in on it with your mom? Here is his response.
It's very much a real thing, and it's a struggle when you're the only one that understands it. It's even worse when everybody wants to assume the worst rather than understand and communicate genuinely and honestly, because there's just too much confusion in this world.
How are you feeling now? Is there relief?
Very much. A lot of relief. It just feels like I'm just at peace now. It just feels happy, you know?
And how have police been handling this, do you think? What have they been saying to you, and what's it been like?
I mean, they're trying the best that they can and giving me space that they can, but it's a struggle still, you know. I'm just slowly trying to take it one day at a time, you know. It's just a lot. It overwhelms me very much.
Yeah. He seems to kind of come in and out of, I would say, almost personalities. It's sometimes very much the Rudy who has been abused, and then there's another side of Rudy that seems to be clinging to the outside world of, or what he knows of it, and his thoughts and views on that. And that becomes evident here when they asked him, is there anything else the police should know about with what happened to you. And this was his last response.
Given everything that you've been through and with your mom, I mean, do you think there's something that police should know about?
Just that there's a lot of corruption. And it's literally through the colors. Like I said, I'm not saying, oh, there's corrupt cops and this and that. Literally, it's a corruption of the mind. It's through nanobots and it's through the aid, like the flu vaccines and everything. That's why people have that first memory of waking up and being alive whenever they're a kid, you know? It's like I said, literally corruption, like the colors. I'm not talking about the skin tones. I literally mean actual colors. Whenever you look at them, they influence the direction you go. And online, the media, like the computers and the people we talk to, it's all connect in a sense. That's why it just confuses us. Whenever we look at white things, we get distracted and stuff. And we look at the reds and we remind us that it's love, but they kind of influence us to assume, you know, like through bad stuff online, they're like, oh, red's bad. You know, it's evil. It's a devil. It's like, it's not all that.
I don't quite get where he keeps going with the colors.
I don't either. And to me, that's screaming to me about some mental illness. Are you smelling color? What's going on here? Something is very strange. You know, is he talking about political stuff? Is, you know, because red has taken on a political meaning? What the flu vaccine? Where? Huh?
It's very conspiratorial. I'm going to take a guess on this, that maybe mom was very much like this. And this is something that he's been taught through mom as to why society is so bad and manipulating as to why you just need to stay here with me because they manipulate you everywhere with the colors. It sounds like the rantings of a very paranoid person.
Precisely.
And I don't know that it's necessarily him that's doing the ranting as much as it's him doing the repeating of the ranting of someone else. And this is what he was taught to believe.
Yeah, it feels very parroted. Like these phrases he has had pounded into his head, and now he's just restating them like a parrot would.
Yeah,
doesn't know what they mean, but he's heard them so much that he can say them verbatim.
And it can sound like he knows what he's talking about, but if you try to break that down any further, notice the reporters don't go into that at all. They're just like, "And," it's sad all around. This is someone who's not well. Very, very, very likely suffered some very serious mental abuse, very likely at the hands of the mom, as the allegations are true. But it's, I don't know, I think this, we look at this and we go, oh, this is so rare. This is so crazy. No, this is just one person who got caught or someone actually took a look at in detail to see, well, what's going on in your circle of life? And we see these layers of this onion that are just utterly screwed up and make no sense at all. But, you know, drive around your town. Drive around some parts of your town that may not be the greatest, and even some parts that are. But there's so much rampant mental illness out there that I think is a lot in this sort of a vein, where there's a lot of delusional type thinking that's not being diagnosed, not being treated, that this, I think this stuff goes on all the time everywhere and very rarely ever gets checked out or treated, because everybody just looks at, well, they're fine. They're keeping to themselves over there. It only seems to get the attention when something like this happens, where someone's been missing for 8 years and found, or someone ends up dead.
Yeah, I agree. I think I know in my neighborhood, I've got a couple of people who I look at them and I go, wow, how do you exist? You know, there's some very strange stuff going on.
Yeah.
And those people are amongst us. They somehow function in society. We are around them all the time. And once in a great while, one makes the news. For the most part, it's just par for the course, really.
It is. I mean, and it just speaks to the lack of mental health help that we have here in our country, as we all know that horrible it is. But that's, you know, when you don't prioritize something like that, you end up with a nation that has a huge percentage of people thinking very much like this and operating very much like this on a daily basis for years or their entire life, or until something stops them, or gets them help. But
yeah,
that's, yeah. Rudy Ferris, very bizarre story. We'll, of course, continue to cover it for you right here as we learn more.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.